Everyone listening is going through something. Now, everyone out here, you're going through something in your life. And that something that you're going through, a lot of those somethings are very distasteful for you to have to deal with. But you find that in life, it comes at you, and you either deal with it or you get destroyed by it. Am I right? That's called life. And reality Christianity ought to be here. Let's get real in our Christian walk. Let's get real in our Christian acceptance of the Holy Word of Almighty God. God says, I'm going to give you a guideline book. We got it. It's called the Holy Bible. I'm going to give you a guideline book to go by. I'm going to give you the story of your real life. And as I give you the story of your life, I want you to read that story. And I want you to understand I'm giving you a way in the Word, my Word, to deal with whatever it is that you're having to fight at that particular time. Getting through what you're going through. Getting through what you're going through. Now, it's not easy, is it? I mean, we come out wounded. I've come out of a lot of stuff bloody going through what I've gone through. And God says to us, I want you to pay attention. There's nothing going on in your life that I have not allowed to be there for a reason. Oh, Lord, I can't see any reason for some of these things that I'm dealing with. That's because you're not God. God is not a man that he thinks like a man. Well, you are a human being. But the real you is spiritual. And the real you on the inside fights with this human part continually. And the older you get, the more and greater the battles are. Going through what you're going through. Let's get through it. You're going to go through it, so let's deal with it. For God said, I will give you the Word. Listen to Romans 15:4. Everything written in the Scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope. Everything. It's there to teach us. That's why you have it. That's why when all the different groups throughout the world, throughout the United States today, do you know they're doing everything they possibly can to get church shut down? Do you realize that? Boy, your pastor sure does. Go ahead, Pastor Vance, mess up and watch us nail you. Well, you know one of my greater problems? Those of you who grew up in a country, you know what oak lumber is. Well, all of my tear poles that I had in my barn growing up, all of our tear poles were made of oak. And here, 60 years later, yep, I'm thinking about the tear pole, not my age. My age is 74. But 60 years later, I decided I needed to drive a nail through one of those tear poles. A tear pole is what you stand on and house your tobacco on. You don't drive a nail through a tear pole that's made of oak. You don't do that. You can barely drill it. And when you're drilling, you'll watch the smoke coming from it. That's how hard it is. Christians ought to be that solid in their foundational structure with Jesus Christ that when all of these people threaten you with something, just let them know, well, I'm a tear pole. You might come after me, but you see, you can't win, not because of our strength, but because you're standing for God. God said, I want you to get there. I want you to show up. And I want you to stand there and watch me win it for you. You're not going to win that race for life on your own. All those problems and trials and tribulations, you do not know how to deal with them. So God said, read my book. Read it. For the best-selling book there is, there's very few people that read it. Oh, I know what we need over here at the coffee table. Do we have coffee tables anymore? Nobody drinks coffee at them. You're not allowed to scratch them. But, you know, remember the coffee table? What do you do? You'd have a Bible. All the families have. That's a family Bible. Oh, Grandma, what's in? Don't you touch that. That's sitting there for a reason. I never could understand the reason the book had to sit there if you weren't allowed to read it or touch it. It's got all the marriages, all the deaths, all the births of the whole family in it, people you don't even know. But folks, it has God's Word in it. That's what ought to be in there. Get you another book and write it in. But read the Word. And God says, in that word I've given you a lesson for your life. King David was married to beautiful Bathsheba. But because of his sin, their firstborn child was not going to be able to live. Do you know that we don't have a name for that firstborn child? The Bible does not give a name. I'll tell you why in a second. You don't have that name. 7 days, this child is dying. And in that 7 days, David refused to eat. He refused to take a bath. He was stinking to high heaven. 7 days he was there. And he listened to his captains and all coming in, and he saw them. You can tell when something's wrong. I guarantee you, when your loved one, the person you know, walks in the door, if something's wrong, all you got to do is look at their face, right? What's wrong? I didn't say anything. You don't have to say anything. Something's wrong. David looks at him, and David says, is the child dead? Yes, king. He's dead. They were pretty fearful because the kings prior to him would have cut your head off. You would have been killed for bringing bad news. David gets up. First thing he does, the scripture says, he takes a bath. I'm always for taking the bath. And then it said he puts his lotion on, actually. And then he orders a banquet. Boy, he's hungry. 7 days. All of those who followed the king saying, King, we don't understand. All the time your child was dying, you refused to eat or do anything. And yet, as soon as he is dead, you get up and do all of this and throw a great banquet. We don't understand. They didn't understand because they were not listening to God. Listen to me, Christian. The reason he doesn't have a name is because he died in 7 days. The Hebrews, the Jewish people, always on the eighth day would dedicate their child. And on that eighth day, the child's name is given. Now, would David and them been calling him by name? I'm sure. You and I would have with our child. Oh, you're a cute baby. I was ugly, for one thing. So they always said Larry Pete because I didn't want to say anything about being cute or ugly. But there it is. But he wasn't named. His name wasn't, the child's name wasn't important. He'd gone to God. God took the child, and here's what David says. Here's what I want you to remember. Accept what cannot be changed. Whatever it is coming at you, if it can't be changed, you accept it. Listen to it. 2 Samuel 12, 22, 23. David said, I fasted and wept while the child was alive. For I thought perhaps the Lord would be gracious and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? Can I bring him back again? David said, I accept this. And I cannot bring my child back again. But that's not the end of the story. That's called life. It's brokenness. You feel empty. Everything in you just empties out and you wonder, is there going to be hope for tomorrow? All the promises I've heard the preachers preach, where are they? Is there a hope for tomorrow? And God said, read the book. See your hope as an individual. It's not the end of the story. 2 Samuel 12, the second part of verse 23. I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. That little light, it's lighting in heaven. That spirit is with his creator. That's a little light. It's a little light of yours. It's a little light of God's. And God takes care. You know, I loved all the children's songs in church. We get them now at VBS. And I'll be tickled to death when we have the next VBS one of these days. But those children's songs were always there to speak the basics about loving Jesus Christ. Maybe we need to be singing just a few more of them. Because God says, I want you looking into my book. And I want you to get back to the basics. But, you know, he also tells us, I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to use some common sense. I told you that with this COVID thing. Use common sense. You don't be foolish, but don't be so afraid that you're captured by fear. Fear will do more harm to you than anything else will. Fear is horrible. Use common sense. And you do what you know is appropriate for that particular time or that particular situation. Take care of yourself. 2 Samuel 12, first part of verse 20. Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, I told you, and changed his clothes. Yeah. Let me tell you something, folks. Life can put you so far down in that ditch to where the whole weight of whatever it is that's sinking you in that ditch, I mean, you don't want to do anything. You don't want to get up. You don't want to eat. You sure don't want to take a bath. You don't want to. Nothing matters. Why? Because of whatever it is you're going through has become so overwhelming that you're down there in that ditch and you get down in that ditch and you think, oh, Lord, I'm down in the ditch. I put myself in here and I know I don't want to bother you because, Lord, I might have to tell you what I did to get down here. Do you really think the Lord doesn't know what you do? Or what you've done? Don't you understand that God loves you just like you are? God loves me when I'm right, and He loves me when I'm wrong. And if I'm down in the ditch of life, you better get down there with me to get me out, because that's what Christians do. That's the family of God. When someone is in the ditch of life, you get down right in the blood, the guts, and the beer with them. I don't know where that one came from. But you get out there and you make sure that you help them to come out. That's the truth of life, isn't it? Life just will do that. And we put ourselves in those situations. And the Lord always says, I love you, Larry Pete. And He has always picked me up. He'd brush me off. Sometimes He'll tell me to shut up for a while, and I'll do that. When the Lord says it, I do it. God grounded me for one solid year. Years ago in my ministry, when I was called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, from the time I was called, I was preaching somewhere. Started that very next Sunday, I was preaching. And I was going to different places, and there was always some place to preach. I went to this church. I won't tell you the name of that church. I went there, and I saw corruption in that church. And I'm talking about big-time corruption with cocaine and drugs and all. And by leadership of the church, they were relatives. And I got fed up. Stood in the pulpit. My wife told me if I ever do that again, she'll kill me. I stood up without letting her know, and I said, I resign as your interim pastor. And I walked out of the pulpit. That was wrong of me. I was there for a reason. Should have stood my ground for Christ. From that point, I never preached a message for a solid year. One solid year. And guess who called me to fill in at the end of that year? Vine Grove Baptist Church. I just lost a pastor. Will you come and fill in? That was in 1994 where they asked me to come. I've never left. And I'll tell you what, David, there's a mess going on here too. But once you've been grounded by God, now, you can hang that up, people. That's not going to happen with this preacher. I had rather fight all hell than to ever have the feeling of God saying, be silent then, Larry. I had walked out on God, not the church. And God looked at me in that ditch. Come on. Let's give it another try. You all have been stuck with me for 26 years now, I think it is. Yeah, and now you can't get rid of me. I'll have to die out of here. But God says, I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to clean from the inside. Whatever it is that pulls you down, I want you to pay attention to it, and I want you to know that I'm in there with you. Here's your last point for the day. Refocus on God through worship. You know what that means? Get back to church. Get back to church. Worship, my friends, it's when we come together. We come together. We become the body of Christ. I am not called to do what Randy Kidder's called to do. Randy can preach and sing. I can't sing a lick, but boy, I know Big Bad John. But God says, I'll put you all together. You do your thing. Each one of you, you do your thing. I'll do my thing. And you know, our individual things then is called the body of Christ. Your personality will relate to somebody that you can lead to church. My personality may not relate to that person at all, but because of you, you brought them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You cannot save anybody. The Holy Spirit of God convicts their heart and offers them the opportunity. I cannot get anybody saved. The Holy Spirit does that. But I am called by God to invite them to come in so they will hear His Word, and the hearing of His Word will bring conviction of sin, meaning admit that you don't know what you're doing, and when you do that and say, Lord, save me, you're saved. Folks, you do not have to jump over a pew or crawl under it or anything else. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, accepting Him, you are saved. Well, I'll go one better scripturally. You become a saint. Woo! And I know the majority of you. And from a human standpoint, a saint you ain't any more than your pastor is. But spiritually, I'm a saint, Brother Joey. I know Jesus. And because of Him, I am made whole. And through Him, you and I can go through these tough times that we're going through. And we're going to come out on the other side. I know it may look dark for you right now. I know the hour may look grim. But I got news for you. I got a Savior right here with me. I got a Savior in heaven. Yep, He's there too. But do you know Jesus never leaves you, nor will He ever forsake you. When I'm down in that ditch of life that you go through on your journey, Jesus is right there with you. You're never alone. He's never said, Larry, I don't love you anymore. I will never hear those words from my Lord and Savior, my God. I don't love you anymore. I'll never hear that. Because He's going to love me just like I am. Because you see, as that little boy I was when I said yes to Jesus, and Jesus saved me, He knew all the foolishness and dumb things and the sin I was going to get in throughout my life. But He saved me anyway. And He secured me. Do I believe that? I know that. I know that. Because you see, it's God's Word. It's God's Word. Well, when it's God's Word, it just don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We ask now, Father, that as You bring Your children back to the church, I ask, Father, that You touch us. Father, when You said to Your nation, when My people who are called by My name, You're talking to us, Lord. I don't have to wait for the worldly people to admit and fall on their knees. It's Your people, Father, You're calling out. It's Your church, dear Lord God, You're saying, wake up. Touch us now, Father. Help us to wake up. Help us to understand, Father, that through Your power, through Your love, we can be that voice once again in the communities, throughout the country, throughout the world. Let it be done, Father, in accordance with Your Word and Your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here or if you're listening and you have accepted Christ, or you want to talk to me about accepting Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, those of you who are here, look at your bulletin. You have my cell number. I'm available 24/7 to you. I will discuss, I will pray with you. Whatever you need me to do, I will do. But the greatest need for America today is for Christians to lead others to Christ and for Christians to start acting like Christians. Great need. That means get back to church. You see what socialism is a little bit like, where you're told by the government you can't do this and you can't do that. You don't like that, do you? Now, you're like me. You don't like that at all. You don't like being told what to do because you like your freedom. Therefore, stand for it in God's army and watch the powers that be in the world collapse in your presence. Whatever commitment you need to make, I invite you to make that commitment in Jesus' name.